Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
Good morning. How you guys doing? Awesome. Yes. Some of you guys are like, what's going on here? Why do you have this? Why do you have this? This is my bag. Yeah, okay, here, let me explain. You're like, what are you doing? Stop. I invited someone. Don't. Let's do it all over again. Yeah, okay. Let me explain. I was in Italy a couple of months ago, and I realized that all the guys over there, they have these bags. They have these cool bags. Okay, I think you call it a clutch. Is it a clutch? Oh, please. It's not called that. But yeah, so I was like, you know what? It was cool. I saw these guys. All of them had them, and I'm like, oh, this is cool. And they had all their stuff in here, like, okay. And so let me see, let's show you. So this is mine. This is actually my purse. My bag, my clutch, whatever it is. And so I got all my stuff. I got my phone here. I need that today. I definitely need that. I got my wallet in here. AirPods. My shades in here. I love it. Now, I know some of you guys are like, please stop, bro, just stop. I did take it to the gym once. I took it to the gym once. That was it. It was too much. The first week I walked around with it. My son refused to walk with me. He refused to. My wife just rolled her eyes. My daughter, she was like, it's fabulous. And I was like, okay, thank you. So yes, it's actually my purse. It's actually my bag. But I do have another bag here for you. And this is our swag bag here. I don't know if you guys have experienced this. If you're a guest recently, we started giving these out to our guests. We got this bag. It kind of matches the shirt. I got shoes to match the whole thing. Let's see what's in here. All right. Look at this. Fresh. Yes. I was going to put it on, but I did it in the first service, and then I messed up my hair, and I was like, I'm not going to do that. I should do that. Yeah. Okay. Right? Should I just preach in this? Can I just do that? And then there was silence. Oh, yeah. Hold on. What else we got here? Oh, we got a koozie in here? Oh, we got a koozie. And not a beer. Hold on. Not a beer. We got a koozie in here. Let's see. You know what? I think we actually have stuff to give away. Oh yeah, I got a hat to give away. Who wants a hat? Anybody want a hat? Anybody? Oh, there's so many of you. See, I can see you and your eyes are like, please. How many of you like my man bag? All right, okay, I'll give it. Here, grab one. Woo. Okay, I also heard the last service I hit someone with a koozie. Okay, so watch out. All right, and we got a T-shirt. We got a T-shirt. And the name of the T-shirt, actually, there's no name. It's called Small. Anybody a small here? Anybody small? All right. Well, and you can have the bag as well. Not really. Awesome. Actually, you know what? I'll give you this, too. Who wants another hat? Anybody want a hat? Okay, I'll do. Okay, some of you guys are volunteers. You're going to get a hat for sure. Okay? Here. All right. Someone. All right. So why am I talking about bags? What's going on with this morning's conversation? If you're a guest here, you're like, okay, what's the deal? So we've been in a series called Reclaim, and we ended it last week. And this morning, what I want to talk to you about is really the stuff that's on your chairs, like when you walked in, you saw this brochure, this bulletin, whatever, and it's a volunteer brochure. I want to talk to you about that because at some point at the end of the conversation, I want to take you there. But before I do that, I want to ask you this big, in one sense, a big question in your life. Do you carry around a bag? Right? I think most of us in our lives, we've carried around a bag. I know that women carry around bags, their book bags, there are all kinds of bags, briefcases, all kinds. We have bags in our life. The question, though, is who are we carrying the bags for? Obviously, the obvious question is it's for us. Like, I've got all my stuff in my bag, you got your stuff in your bag. But could it be possible that God wants us to carry a bag, but it's not just for us, it's actually for other people in our lives? Could it be possible that God's saying that your life is the way, and the bag you carry is kind of like the philosophy of your life? For some of us, we live our lives connected to this one reality, and that is that life is about collecting things. And so when it comes to bags, when it comes to our lives, when it comes to our emotions, our everything about us, it's about collecting. And could it be possible that God's saying, I want you to actually not live your life like that. I want you to live out your faith, not in collecting the blessings of God, which so many of us have kind of grown up to believe that, regardless of the faith we grew up in. I mean, I grew up as a Muslim, and I'll tell you, I mean, even that is like trying to get a blessing from God. It's all about trying to get something from the God, from the guy, from the person, from the people, whoever out there. Even enlightenment itself is trying to get something. And yet the message of Jesus is not just that. It's more than that. It's about actually giving more than you get. It's living a life that empties out your bag, not fills it up. And so what I want to do is I want to take us to that, because at some point in our lives, and maybe you're there this morning, and that is that at some point you're going, you know what, I don't know why I'm kind of spiritually stuck. I don't know what the next thing is about my faith. I don't know if it's like I got to go to a retreat, if I got to spend some more time somewhere else, if I got to listen to a song, I got to read another book. I got to do something to kickstart my faith. And maybe, just maybe, you're here because you're like, I got to just go to a different church because I need to restart my faith. Well, could it be possible that that your restart, your next thing, is connected to this? The way you live your life, that you live your faith collecting versus giving, collecting versus distributing, getting versus giving. Could that be it? I believe it is. So what I want to do is I want to take you to a peculiar passage in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament. Can you say Old Testament? Old Testament. We're going to go to 2 Kings and put it on the screen for you as well. So if you got your phones, grab those and we'll do that. But 2 Kings, and let me set this up. Number one, it's the Message translation, which is a paraphrase translation. Also, the context of there's a lot of things going on. In 2 Kings, there's a lot of stories about kings, kingdoms, Israel, people against it, tribes against it. And so in this context, what has happened is that the Jewish people are surrounded by a particular tribe of people that want to overtake them. They've surrounded the whole city, and they've caused a famine. They've caused a famine because they're not allowing anybody in or out of the city. And so people are dying. It's kind of a crazy thing. In fact, if you read the story, it actually starts alluding to cannibalism in that. That might be the only time in the scriptures that it's connected to that. I don't know if the people were exaggerating that was happening, but the situation is pretty intense. And so the Aram people are against the Jewish people at this time. And then in this story, we find these four guys who we're going to learn from this morning. And so that's where you pick it up. So it starts off, it says, it happened that four lepers were sitting just outside the city gate. They said to one another, what are we doing sitting here at death's door? So they know the situation. They're outside the city gate, which means they can see the enemy, and that they can see the city. They know the city is struck with famine. There's all kinds of chaos going there. They don't know what to do. And so they're having this process. They're thinking this through. And so what happens? And he says, well, if we enter the famine-struck city, we'll what? We'll what? We'll die. If we stay here, we'll what? We'll die. So let's take our chances with the camp of Aram and throw ourselves on their mercy. And so basically what they're saying is, we're going to die anyways. That's just going to happen. And so so this is what they're thinking. They say, if they receive us, we'll live. If they receive us, we'll live. If they kill us, we what? Die. They have three options. Die, and die. Yeah. And then they go, we have nothing to lose. Right. So after the sun went down, they got up and they went to the camp of Aram. So this is the point where they go, you know, I don't know what to do. We're beside ourselves, and I think the best thing for us to do is just go somewhere, do something. So if we were going to learn something from this, I think the question that we need to ask ourselves is this one right here. And the question is, are you desperate enough when it comes to your situation? Like, I think no one likes to be desperate. The idea is negative. You're just like, desperate people, desperate. And you know, you're like, she's desperate, he's desperate, I don't know about. You know, because desperate people do some crazy things. But see, at some point, when there's an, I think the end of options, the end of options gives birth to courage at times, doesn't it? Like when you're just done, when you don't know what else to do, you're like, we literally don't have any other option. We're just going to move. I think if you look at stories of people who've done incredible things, there's a point in their lives that they were just tired of being tired. They were just done. They're like, I don't care if we lose everything. We're not going back. We're moving forward. I'm going to do this. And there's a sense of desperation that I think your situation might need. And it might be the first step for you. You know what? I've weighed all my options. This is a bad one. This is a bad one. This is a really ugly one. I'm just going to move forward. I'm just going to do this. You see, all of us want a hope when it comes to our options. We all want a chance to like, hey, maybe if I do this, this will happen. And there's maybe a plus side to it. But I think sometimes the biggest handicap is the fact that you have hope. Let me explain. Now, I'm all about hope. I got a shirt that says hope for all. I'm all about it. I got a bag that says it. I got a hat that says it. I got a koozie that says it. I got all kinds of stuff that says hope for all. I'm all about hope for all. But there's something about being hopeless that gives birth to or rises up inside of us a new sense of bravery. That says, this is done, it's not going to happen, it is over, and I need to move on. In fact, I mean, people have talked about this, researchers, authors, counselors. One guy in particular, he wrote the book Necessary Endings, and he talks about, this is Dr. Henry Cloud, and he talks about the idea of hopelessness, and he says this. He says that hopelessness can be a virtue. Yeah, hopelessness can be a virtue. When we allow it to show us the areas in which we need to lose hope so that we can move into something healthier and wiser. For some of us, we're holding on to a particular relationship, career, frame of mind, success, significance, satisfaction, fulfillment, happiness, joy. There's a sense out there, and the problem is you're holding on to that, and you're not being desperate enough to move on from it. Could it be possible that what your situation, what your faith needs right now is a little bit of hopelessness, a little bit of desperation, a little bit of, you know what? We're going to die anyways. We're just going to move forward. I'm going to lose this anyway. I'm going to move forward. Could that be it? As we continue on the story, let's see what we find out. So it goes on and says, when they got to the edge of the camp, so now they decide to go, so they end up going. And there's what? Guess what happened? Surprise. Not a man in the camp. Now, it was an enemy camp, thousands of soldiers, no one is there. What is going on? It says here the master had made the army of Aram hear a sound of horses and a mighty army on the march. Now, the master here in this paraphrased version is God. He's called him the master. What had happened? Basically, the story is God had caused these people to think that something else was going on. And then they began telling each other this. They said, they told one another, the king of Israel hired the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egypt to attack us. Panicked, they ran for their lives through the darkness. I mean, so there's mass chaos going on. Again, the lepers are going, the four guys are like, what's going on here? So they walk in, they see they're abandoned tents, horses, donkeys, the whole camp, just as it was, running for dear life. These four men entered the camp, went into a tent. First, they ate and drank, which they were like, this is good. We're going to do this first. First thing is first. Let's drink. We got to hope for all koozie. Let's drink, okay? Okay. Then what did they do? They grabbed silver and clothing and went off and hid it. Then they came back, entered another tent, and looted it, again hiding their plunder. So what are they doing? They're basically collecting all kinds of stuff, putting in all kinds of bags. Now, sir, can you hand me that bag again really quick? Okay, so they're basically doing this, right? So they're collecting and they're looting and they're putting all the stuff in their bag. They have bigger bags, maybe, possibly. Of course they did, right? I mean, I've got a bag and it's full of stuff that I've collected, spiritual stuff that I've collected, and so have you. You have allowed yourself to experience some amazing things and then seen that God has done some just wonderful things, and you've collected a lot of blessings. We've done that. We've done that, right? And so the big idea here is this, right, which is leads to the second question here. When can God show up for you? When can God show up for you? Which seems like, okay, these thoughts don't make any sense. You just said these guys experience all kinds of blessings, and you just asked us, like, oh, well, do you do this? So this question doesn't make any sense. Yeah, it doesn't in the surface. But when you start thinking about it, when did these guys experience a supernatural blessing? When they least expected it? See, for so many of us, our expectancy is creating a tension, an anxiety, a stiffness, a defensiveness, a what's going to happen, a are you going to show up, an anxiousness about us that actually doesn't allow God to show up in our lives. Like, the best way to understand this is this. Now, how many of you wear any kind of jewelry? Anybody wear jewelry? Jewelry people. I wear too much jewelry. Probably more than my wife. Okay, let's not judge. But anyways, so when it comes to rings, I've noticed that there's certain times I put a ring on and I can't put it in. I can't wear it. And I'm like, did I gain weight? What happened here? No, during the day, depending on certain times of the day, depending on even what you've eaten, your fingers will swell up. Your physical body goes through cycles of being stressed or relaxed, swollen, not swollen, relaxed. What's going on? Well, that's just normal, isn't it? Could your soul be doing that? Of course it is. Of course. There are moments in the day, there are moments in your life, there's moments in your seasons of life that God can't really show up for you because He can't fit in. He can't fit into your schedule. He can't fit into your frame of mind. He can't fit into your faith because you've expected Him to work a certain kind of way. So the question is, when can God show up for you? I'll tell you what, if you are spending time collecting all kinds of things, if you're focusing on getting, if that is your spirituality, then I don't know when God can show up for you. See, it's tough for us to understand that, but it's the reality of life. I grew up Muslim, and so 19 years of my life, I was a Muslim. I'm a Pakistani guy that grew up in Kuwait in the Arab world, and so I'm familiar with Arab world, Pakistani, all things Muslim, and I get that, and I talk to a lot of Muslims who either are thinking about coming to faith in Jesus or have come to faith in Jesus. I've spent time talking to a lot of Muslims about how they've come to Jesus and stories about thousands of Muslims coming to Jesus, and consistently there seems to be a thread. The thread is that God speaks to Middle Eastern people, I don't know why, through dreams and visions. Have you ever had a bad dream? Anybody? Bad dream. bad dream, right? Not a nightmare, just a bad dream. Just a bad dream. Have you just woken up just mad at life? You know, just like, what happened? What happened? Have you ever had a dream about a certain person, then you saw them that day and you were just mad at them? You're just like, you know what? I don't like you. By the way, they're not responsible for that. You are. Like, that's your dream. You get to do whatever. Okay, so we've all had bad dreams. We've all had good dreams. We've all had nightmares. All those. Have you ever had a dream where you're like, I think this is God? Why does God talk to us through our dreams? Why do Muslims come to faith or see something, which this is the story. They say, I had a dream that there was a man in white that told me that he was Jesus and I should follow him. It's a consistent story. I mean, there are thousands and thousands of Muslims coming to faith every year. Every year. In fact, there's more Muslims coming to faith in the rest of the world than there are American born Christians coming to faith in Jesus. And they're consistently happening because of dreams and visions. You need to pay attention to your dreams. See, for some of us and for Muslims, the defenses are so up. We're just so on at times that sometimes the only way God can show up is when we are asleep, when everything else is just relaxed, when everything else is just on low, when our subconscious is the only thing that's on. See, sometimes our lives are like that. Like, God can't show up for you because you're just so tensed up. And he wants to show up in an amazing way. But you have an expectation of how he should show up. And he wants to show up a different way. All of this is connected to the kind of life you're living, the kind of walk of faith you have. So let's go back to the story. What happens? Finally, so they've been looting, they've been getting all this stuff. Finally, they said to one another. Now, obviously we know that not all of them said at one time. Okay, this was not like the beginning of an a cappella men's group. Okay, this is not it, okay? So one guy says this. He says, we shouldn't be doing this. To which another guy would say, shut it. Okay, we deserve this. Okay, we deserve this. No. And then he goes on. He says, this is a day of great news. Of great news. Why? Because they just realized they went to this camp and all of the army that was surrounding and creating the famine had left, were gone. It was over. The oppression was over. The occupation, in one sense, was over. They had freedom. So they go to this camp. No one in the city, all the Jewish people, do not know this is happening. They still think that the enemy is encamped around them, but the enemies run away. Something happened, they ran away. These guys go in, and they're just enjoying all of this. And then one guy has this thought, hey, this isn't right. Let's loot some more, but this isn't right. Let's get some more stuff in there. But this isn't right. This is a day of great news, and help me with the rest. And what? We're making it what? We're making it into a private party. A private party. Have you ever heard of a private party that you weren't invited to? Does it feel great? Right? You're like, that's awesome. It's wonderful. This is just wonderful. I don't like private parties. Doesn't make me feel good. I mean, I get the context sometimes, but here, God, I believe, is speaking to all of us that when it comes to the good news, sometimes churches do this. They throw a private party, members only invited. Hope is not for all, hope is for some. And depending on what you believe and who you live, what you look like and where you're from and all of those. And here, these guys are like, what are we doing? This is such a big blessing. It's such a big blessing. We can't help be a blessing.
to others with it. It's such a big blessing that we can't help take it and share it. It's such a big blessing. This is such great news. This is such great news. There is no way. What are we doing? What are we doing? We're throwing a private party. And private parties, guys, you know, sometimes they're just pity parties. That's just you, right? It's a private party. Okay? They're political parties. It's members-only parties, club parties, private parties. I'm not quite sure if Jesus ever threw one. Because if you look at the scriptures, all his parties were like he was crashing a party. He was making the party go on and on and on because he had some more wine in there. He's like, okay, let's keep it going. All the illustrations he would use is like, so-and-so happened, he came back, let's throw a party. Who's invited? Everyone! What are you doing? No. Because we like to have power, don't we? We like to throw private parties. Because we want to make ourselves feel good. We are blessed, you're not. We're chosen, you're not. We're special, you're not. We have hope, you don't. Hope for some. And here, these guys are like, what are we doing? What are we doing? You see, sometimes I think that we have not hit a point of realization that we go, oh my goodness, I have such an amazing life. Why am I not giving this away? I have so much hope and joy. Why am I not giving it away? Because I'll tell you what happens sometimes. Sometimes we do this. We have these... this idea that we need to fill our bags up with just spirituality. So what we do is we fill our bags up with all kinds of Jesus things, which is just fine. You throw a Bible in there, right? You got a Bible in there. Okay, we love the Bible, obviously, right? We love that. And then we go, you know what? We want to go hardcore on this in terms of like we want to get, let's throw in some deeper teaching here. The life and times of Jesus, the Messiah. Whew, that's big. That's going to impress someone. I don't know if we're going to ever read it, but whew. It's in Hebrew, but we're going to learn that. Okay. All right. Let's see. What else we got? Oh, we got this one. We want to find out. We're going to get practical. We want to know all the answers. So let's do this one. This is called the hard sayings of the Bible. They're all hard. Okay. Let's just put that in there. Okay. Okay. Let's do this. And what else we got? Oh, let's see. What else can we put in there? Okay, we go through life. Oh, I need to grow my discipleship. I need to be a follower of Jesus. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start this 1 year Bible thing. How many of you started that? Lasted for 1 month. Whoo! For me, it's been 7 days, and I'm like, oh, you know what? It's all good. It's all good. You know? Okay, so we throw that in there, and then what else we got? We got place for anything else? I'm not quite sure. But this whole thing is for us. It's for us. Could it be possible that sometimes the blessings that you are collecting will become burdensome for your soul? Like they're actually a burden now. Because this hope, this bag, your life was never meant to collect blessings. It was meant to distribute them. I think that's the big idea when it comes to the life of Jesus. Is your life a private party? Or is everybody invited? And see, this is what I believe. This is where we change the game. This is where we decide, okay, we're not going to do this. And that's why I want to invite you to be a part of what God is calling us to do. Because we're trying to throw not a private party, a party that says there's hope for what? All. And so guess what we need? We need all of you to help. All. Because this is about us coming together and giving away the blessings that we have. And so, if you don't mind, would you look at your seats and get the volunteer brochure out. Could you do that? Grab that. If you don't mind, you're like, you know what, Naeem, I'm not interested. I get it. Just appease me for just a moment. Maybe God wants to speak to you through that. Okay, so if you were just look at that, you'll find a pen attached to it. And what I want to do is just going to go through some of our needs. So here's where it happens. We do everything that we do through volunteers. And we have a system where people serve twice a month. And so we're committed to making sure it's healthy, making sure that you're in a good position that you want to be, and making sure you get a chance to actually take a break. So some of you guys, you've been on a break. It's time to get back. Some of you guys are like, oh, do we get to take a break? Yeah, you get to take a break. That's what we want to do. But here's what I want to do. I want to just go through some big major items here and just present to you an opportunity for you to go, you know what? I'll do this. Because if you sign up today, and you go for 6 months because that's his commitment. You serve about 12 times. 12 times. That's it. So let me go through the big ones. The first one is North. So North Campus. This is North Campus. We actually have another campus, Metro. And so in North Campus, when it comes to MKIDS, we need 33 people. We need 33 people and MKIDS. So if you look through the brochure, you'll see there's a check-in area. There's by each classroom. And there are some of you, and I get it, some of you guys, you're like, oh man, I'm just not a kid person. I have five of my own, and I'm trying to get rid of some. You know what I'm saying? I come to church so I can check them in and just hang out. You know, I do this. I mean, so please, I don't want to do that. I get it. And then there's others of you, the others of you who weird me out sometimes because you look at babies and you're like, oh, I want to eat that. And I'm like, whoa, what are you doing? Right? I'm going to pinch that thing. I'm going to pinch it. Have you ever done that? Have you seen that? He's like, oh, I get it, but it's weird, right? Think about it. You want to eat babies. What is wrong with you? Anyways, so you love them. You love them. So maybe that's for you. Maybe that's for you. Okay, let's go to the next. So in Metro, we need 21. Let's go to the next. So Metro Connection Team. Now, this is Connection Team. This is so important. If you look through the brochure, you'll find that there's like you got security, you've got ushers, greeters, you've got people who are serving you over here, and they're part of a team, and that's called the Connection Team. And so we need 37 for North. And so what does that look like? What that means is you sign up for one of those, and we put you on a team. You can switch around. We can work with you for that. So, as I'm talking through this, I'd love for you, if you haven't already, maybe start filling it out and go, you know what, I kind of like that. Let's go to the production team. Production team, we need 23 for North. 23 people for North. What does that mean? Lights, camera, action, you know, we all of those things. And so if you want to be in the back, like you're not a people person, you love technology. I mean, depending on your personality, we'd love for you to do that because all of these allow us to serve people. So there are people out there that go, hey, I'm not really a people person. I just kind of do this. I want to be on a particular team. I want to do security. I want to do friends. We would love to put you in any position that is on the brochure and that you can try it for a season. If we need to switch you, we'll switch you. The goal for us is not just to meet our needs. Friends, again, we're trying to throw a party that invites everyone. And if we're going to do that, then we need everyone. If this was a private party, we would just need church staff and that's it. That is not our goal. We're here to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus. We believe hope is for all. And what that means is we're all a part of this. So, would you consider serving 12 times in 6 months? 12 times. So, let me give you a minute. Can I do that? Just for you to look at the brochure and fill it out. Fill out, and once you do, you have ushers who are volunteering who'll grab them from you as you pass them to the end of the aisle. Just take a moment. as you guys are filling these out, you know, I'm reminded of this couple that I married off like 13 years ago, Jeff and Alicia Bartosz. And some of you guys might know them. And these guys, they've got three kids, and they've been serving for 13 years. I got a chance to officiate their wedding as well. And so they've journeyed with us all these years. They're just a great couple. And I like Jeff a whole lot because he loves motorcycles, and he likes building them, and he lets me borrow them. So I just love him for that. But you know what? What's so unique and special about them? They might be the only couple. They've got three kids, and yet they serve at this campus and the other campus. So once a month, they'll serve here at Kids, and then they don't even attend Metro, and they'll go and just serve Metro. Sometimes they'll just go in, serve Metro, and just be a part of that, even though all their friends are here. And I know there are other people who do things like this, but I just want you to know that you're sitting among so many generous people. They've decided to live their lives a certain way. They live their lives in a way that says, I don't want to collect, I want to give. Because the truth is, at the end of life, it's not how much you have, it's how much you've given away. In everything. It doesn't matter. No one wants to hear stories about how much you have. No one will ever tell a story about how much you have. They will always tell stories of how much you gave. And so that is the heart behind what we do here. And that, I pray, is the heart of this church. Because so often we've said prayers of, God, save me, love me, bless me. I think we need to move from that to, God, I don't want you to bless me. I don't want you to, I don't want this to be about me. So maybe the prayer is, God, use me. Not just heal me, use me. By the way, the story that we've gone through, did you notice that something unique about the four guys? They were all what? Lepers. Do you know in the story, they never got healed? They never got healed. And sometimes the scriptures they throw that in there just to let us sit in that a little bit. That your life is not about you just getting a healing and me just getting a healing. It's about being used by God. So could it be that your prayer stops from, God, heal me, to God, just use me? And if you're thinking, man, I'm not worthy, I'm not sure, I'm not all of those things, God could never use me. Friends, we are all lepers. We're all broken. We've all got a bent towards something. We're all, in one sense, decaying. We've all got this leprosy of our soul. We've all need healing. No one of us is perfect. But that's the story of the people of God. Lepers who changed the world. And so, could we be that, church? Hey, I'm a leper. God, you don't have to heal me. Just use me to save my people, save a whole city, save the world. That's my prayer for us. Can I pray for you? Lord God, thank you. Thank you so much for this conversation. God, that we can be a church community that practically can live out a message. That we can be people who give, not just in our jobs, but also in the community that we're a part of, this faith community. And for God, I pray for some of us that recognize that, God, the main thing for them, it's not for all of us, but for some of us, the main thing is actually that our blessings are become burdens because we have spent our whole life collecting them. And it's time we empty it out because, God, you fill us to fill other people. So, God, let me use what we have, and to bless other people. God, and I pray that we would be the ones, we would be the ones who say, you know what? We're not doing this. We're not. This is such great news. This is such a great hope. It cannot be for some. It has to be for all. Everyone's invited. God, allow us to be instruments. Instruments. Allow us to be the distribution center of your grace and hope and love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.